You're listening to Chris Ayotte on WMUZ 103.5 The Light, Detroit made, Bible strong. Well, wouldn't it be nice if marriage had a practical, user-friendly manual? I mean, why am I asking this question now, so late in life? Well, whether you're navigating difficult circumstances beyond your control, managing relationships perhaps with your kids or your in-laws whom you love, I know you do, I feel the love, or balancing finances, work, and schedules, prioritizing your marriage can be tricky. Oh, yes. And take it from people who know, because my next guests have written that manual that can help all married couples. They began teaching marrieds and singles in ministry in the early 2000s. They have a passion for helping couples grow closer to each other as they walk more closely with God. He's earned a Master's of Divinity from Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary and served in pastoral ministry for 20 years. He's also served in the Michigan Air National Guard since 2001. She has been practicing law since 2003, so you got to know that this marriage is buttoned up. I'm telling you right now, and started her own practice called Harvey Legal Group in 2006. And they enjoy teaching premarital classes and coaching couples to have God's best in their marriage. They're also, oh yes, they're authors of this manual called Operation Thriving Marriage, a field manual for maximum performance and preventative maintenance. And oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, if that weren't enough, they live in Ann Arbor. Go Blue. What a welcome to the program, Brian and Jennifer Harvey. Hi, guys.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to have you both. I'm excited that you're here, and I've asked my lovely wife, Kiki, to join us. Hi, Kiki.
Hello.
Thank you for being with us, dear.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's never a sacrifice with you, honey.
Oh, see, this is going to be just fine. The theme today is the perfect marriage. So drum roll, please. Brian and Jennifer, you seem to be experts on the subject. So I want to get this right on the table right now, right here. Is the perfect marriage possible?
Well, perfect marriage with imperfect people, it can't be absolutely perfect, but you can have what would be perfect or the ideal for you or pretty close to it. You just have to certainly make sure that you're plugged into what God's principles are and allow the Holy Spirit to be leading you in that.
See, I was going to say sorry only for me because you have to be married to Jen.
But,
see, like me, answer. Brian, you're married up. I appreciate
too kind.
That.
No, but absolutely. Perfect marriage, what does that even mean, right? This idea, and everyone has their own vision, their own image of what marriage looks like, what marriage should be, what relationships should look like. And the problem is, a lot of it comes down to really, what does God want for a marriage? What has God said a marriage is supposed to be? But a lot of this too is when you look through the Bible, God never said, this is the perfect marriage. He encourages how we should live as Christians, how we should support one another. And then we get all this other information from our family of origin, our friends, television, my gosh, social media, all this stuff. And then we get this weird kaleidoscope picture of what marriage is supposed to look like with all this different information. And then you're trying to figure out, okay, what does it look like? How do we pull all this off? And there's no such thing as perfect, because the only thing perfect is God.
Yeah. And so it's interesting to me how we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, especially as Christian believers who want the very best. I mean, everybody wants the best in a marriage, but it seems like many of us don't feel as though we have the tools, or that we don't understand what it takes to make the relationship work and meaningful. And then when we have that first argument, Jennifer, what happens after that?
Well, with a lot of it, I think that goes to expectations a lot of times that just simply aren't met, and then people can retreat into themselves, and they give up, or they just feel like this argument has marred themselves and marred their marriage from going forward. But I think it's good to just really pull things back and just be able to take a look at how God designed marriage to be, and just what is that theological foundation, and then how you're to act as a couple together, and really our concept that we write about in the book is something called team marriage. And if you're operating together like a team and coming out of things with the foundation of our purpose for marriage is to grow to be more in the image of God, really and truly, I think that the best performing marriages by God's standards are going to reflect God the best, because this is the best that we can see of a Trinity. We can't see exactly how the Trinity is operating as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we can see how two people come together as one couple and how they can interact with each other and thereby reflect God.
Mm-hmm. And to quote Coach Bo, the team, the team, the team. Brian, this is important, and I think sometimes if we're not careful, one spouse might treat the other as though they're less than them because they want their way and they want the other spouse to sort of, you know, cater to their needs, and we don't look at it as a team, and we make that mistake, don't we?
And a lot of times I think really when you look at marriages, the way they're portrayed oftentimes in different television, different media, or you look at marriages, we have, especially as Americans, we have this idea of we want to win, you know, and it's important to win, and this idea of my rights and what I want. And the reality is, when you step into marriage, you've got to look at that other person and that idea of sacrifice. And one of the things that's really important is not just what I want, but what does Jen want? And when we've taught this before, get the idea of if you've got two people that are constantly trying to pull what they want out of another person, by naturally you're pulling away from each other. You're pulling apart. I'm reaching in and trying to get what I want. And it's this gesture, this idea of getting something out and pulling yourself away from the person that you're supposed to be closest to. And that invariably is going to cause conflict that's not healthy. It invariably is going to create strife between two people. But if you have two people that their focus is, what do you need? So if my focus is, Jen, what do you need now? And I'm constantly working on how can I meet those needs in front of me that God has placed in front of me by giving me this wife, then I'm constantly looking at that. Well, when she's doing the same thing, now it's not two people pulling what they want out of each other. Now it's two people pushing what they need into each other. Mm-hmm. And so now you have that idea of that overflowing love because you're constantly feeding each other rather than pulling away from each other, trying to get what you want out of each other.
And it seems to me like there is a word that we don't use enough, I believe, in this age, and that's honor. You're honoring one another by asking what they need and then serving them in love. And I mean, there are so many wonderful passages about love. 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. And 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And I want to get into this, Brian. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:25, because I also want the husbands to understand the tremendous responsibility we have to love and to serve our wives. When he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This isn't about superiority. This is not about dominating a relationship. This is not about speaking down to someone. This is about serving and loving. And when we look at the model of Christ, my goodness, compassion, mercy, love, service, I mean, it's all there.
So we just finished celebrating Easter. And think back to Good Friday. How much power did Christ impose on those he loved on Good Friday? He gave up everything on Good Friday for those he loved. And when you read that passage from Paul, it's our responsibility to love our wife just as much as he did, so much that he was willing to die for them. And this was really interesting during our premarital counseling. I love the way Jen put this. How do you work this out? Because a lot of people get this idea of dominance in a marriage, which goes back to what we were talking about earlier. There is no dominance. That's when you get into unhealthy patterns. And Jen said that really put a lot of onus on the woman when you're in the engagement and you're working. What she said is, look, you've got to find a guy who's going to treat you like the princess you deserve to be treated like, and then get out of his way and let him do it. And I love that. Mm-hmm. That just, you've got to really, it is our responsibility as husbands to love sacrificially. At the same time, it's wives' responsibility to love sacrificially as well. This is not one or the other. It's mm-hmm. both and. But like you said, a lot of times people see this and it's like, okay, this idea of, okay, honor and obey and all this stuff. It's like, no, we have to remember, what did Christ demand of his disciples? His love for them. And then how did he show that? You know, and to me, one of my favorite things ever that Christ said is, they're going to know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And in a couple, in a marriage, what better way to display to the world what Christianity is really like? When other people see you and your spouse together and they see your love for each other and see how you interact, that's a beautiful picture of Christianity in Christ. And mm-hmm. that's how we show them the love of Christ, by how we love each other.
And I think a lot of
Jennifer,
it too,
it's the
holiness of both giving service, but also being able to receive that service. And that really goes to, I think, the heart of what you were saying about honoring each other. It's never a one-way street.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is when either the husband and the wife are fulfilling their role, you know, the husband as the head of the home can do so in love, as Christ loved the church. And we know that the model of Christ, Brian, to your point, is to serve, is to have a heart of compassion and love. And yet, Jennifer, many women struggle with this idea of submit or submission because they feel as though that's putting them in a lesser role. But when we're both in a complementary role, as we read in the Bible, and we're honoring one another, to submit is really to honor the husband as the husband honors and loves the wife, is it not?
Oh, that's exactly it. I'd say with Brian, you know, he makes that that role there easy. But also, it's important to look at what roles are defined and what roles are not defined. Because in America, we might have some different roles here, and that could be just what is just more stereotypical of what a husband is doing as far as work is concerned, or what a wife is doing for as far as work is concerned. And I don't think that it's masculine or not masculine to be mowing the lawn or not. Sometimes it makes more sense for a wife to do it or for a husband to do it. At our home, Brian's taking care of that, and we're happy about that. But I think it's important to just see what the Bible talks about, and then certainly whatever role you're doing. And Brian does a great job in our book about doing a great exegesis of Ephesians. Whatever you're doing, do that to the glory of God, and do that in efforts to certainly reflect God's love.
Our guests are Brian and Jennifer Harvey. They are the authors of the book, Operation Thriving Marriage, a field manual for maximum performance and preventative maintenance. Folks, you want to check this out. The publisher is Westbow. And you can learn from their websites at Brian Harvey. That's Brian with a Y, BrianHarvey.com, or Jennifer's website at HarveyLegalGroup.com. We're going to continue to talk about thriving marriage with Brian and Jennifer Harvey when we return. You're listening to Chris Ayotte on WMUZ 103.5 The Light, Detroit Made Bible Strong.
WMUZ FM HD1 Detroit, 103.5 The Light, streaming online at WMUZ.com. Detroit Made Bible Strong.
Replacing your old windows? Here are some hard facts. Vinyl windows are the worst. They'll chip, warp, buckle, twist, or crack. And the short-term limited warranty you'll get with vinyl windows reflect that fact. It's usually 5 years if you're lucky. Now compare that with the Forever Window from Performance Remodeling. They're fiberglass, and they're 8 times stronger than vinyl. The Forever Window carries a lifetime guarantee. That guarantee includes replacement. So when you buy Forever Windows for your home, that's the last money you'll spend on windows. The Forever Window Guarantee. A guarantee so good, it goes to the new owner when you sell your home. So don't throw away your hard-earned money on windows that won't last. Get the Forever Window from Performance Remodeling. Call for your free estimate at 586-543-6000. 586-543-6000. Or go to WMUZ.com/performance.
And folks, I've met owners Rich and Tanya at Performance Remodeling. They are fantastic people. They are like family. Their fiberglass windows come with a lifetime limited warranty. Now, this is a transferable guarantee for all WMUZ listeners, not only for as long as you own your home, but the guarantee transfers when you sell. These windows won't warp or lose their seal in Michigan's extreme temperatures, protecting your investment and keeping your home nice and comfy. So give them a call today at 586-540-6000. That's 586-540-6000 for your free estimate.
Join Chris Ayotte every Saturday morning at 11 for the Health Hour of the Home and Health Show here on WMUZ. You get timely advice and up-to-date information from health and well-being experts. This week, Chris talks with Steve Fair, Director of Renewal Christian Counseling and author of The Journey into the Divided Heart. Steve will be addressing anxiety, worry, stress, and Christian mental health. He'll show you how you can have lasting peace by understanding your defense mechanisms and how to leave them at the foot of the cross. Be sure to tune in for the Health Hour of the Home and Health Show this Saturday morning at 11 here on WMUZ. 1035 The Light. Detroit made, Bible strong.
Lord, help me, Jesus. I wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know. Souls in your hands, Jesus, my soul's in your hands.
There's a little Elvis in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Jennifer, you're a big Elvis fan, are you not?
Oh, loved Elvis since I was 10 years old. This is fantastic.
Well, you get a little live performance. We always do that in studio. It means so much to me when someone understands the gravitas, the magnetism, the charisma of Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. We are with Brian and Jennifer Harvey, such a wonderful couple from Ann Arbor, Go Blue. They are the authors of the book Operation Thriving Marriage, a field manual for maximum performance and preventative maintenance. Really important on the preventative maintenance part. I'd highly recommend it. Brian, you know, at the break, we were talking about some important priorities we want to outline during our discussion today. And for both of you, it starts with what you call the theology of marriage. Tell us more.
Absolutely. There's three things that we've noticed in our different interactions with marriages that really trip people up in faith. One is a misunderstanding of the theology. What is marriage anyway? We have the pretty ceremony. We have all that stuff going on. But what just happened? We said those vows before those witnesses and before God. What happened? And then before the break, we were talking about the team marriage and then expectations. Those are the three things that really trip people up. It's important when you think of the theology of marriage, the first time ever in the history of anything that something was not good was when God looked at the man and saw that he was alone. That was the first thing ever. Everything's created. Everything is good, good. It's this beautiful refrain of the majesty of what God's created. And he looks at his beautiful, good creation and sees there is a thing that's not good. And it's the man is alone. And so then you see through the story about him creating Eve and that person that corresponds to Adam, and that was the first marriage. And they became, in Genesis says, they became one flesh. Well, what is marriage supposed to be then? What is it supposed to do? And there are three things that we found that really stand out in that, that union, the becoming one. And that is, one, it's how we can represent God to a world that doesn't know who he is. This idea of the Trinity, I mean, for thousands and thousands of years, we've tried to explain the Trinity in a way that our feeble minds can understand, and we're never going to understand it. It's three in one. But two people, one couple, we can display God in a new way. Another thing is an experience of love as close to we can get to what Christ's love is other than Christ, that love that is unconditional, that when marriage is thriving, when you have the healthy, thriving marriage, the love between you is unconditional. You have that. You don't have to worry about it. And most importantly, though, I think the whole purpose of humanity is for us to be holy, for us to learn what it really means to live a life before a holy God, to live a life where at some point in the future, we are going to be in the presence of a holy God. There's going to be a new earth and there's going to be a resurrection life. And how do we live a holy life before a holy God? And that marriage, that learning to be one, it helps us learn what holiness is, because no one knows how unholy I am like Jen. No one can see the mistakes. I mean, it's really easy to put on a show in front of at work, at church, hiding behind your mask at the grocery store. You can put on a show of, oh yeah, I'm holy. But when I get home, Jen knows how holy I'm in. But not only that, because I trust her, when I'm screwing up, she can tell me and she can speak into my life in a way that no one else ever will be able to. And so together, when we are focusing on God and focusing on what it means to be holy, becoming one together, we can help each other be holy because of that trust, that intimacy that only exists in marriage. There's no other relationship that God has provided for us mm-hmm. that allows for that level of intimacy and trust and holiness.
Jen?
That's absolutely the case, and I think that some people who may have tuned in who might not be Christians, when we say holy, we don't mean something that is stuffy or not fun. We're talking about being set apart to do God's work and being set apart for that special kind of purpose. So for us to be holy, it's for us to really become the highest form of what God has created us to be, and it's just an amazing thing to be in that community of marriage and to have that reflected to each other, where it's a place that we can make mistakes and then we can also thereby show that to others and then have others join in and form a larger community, which is, of course, the church.
Well, like the two of you, I mean, I have my lovely wife, Kiki, here with us in studio, dear. And, you know, Kiki has just a wonderful heart of love. She's very cheerful. She has a great disposition, but she's also very supportive, and she honors what's important to me. I was talking about the five love languages earlier, and my top three are words of affirmation, words of affirmation, physical touch, and then quality time. And Kiki, now yours are acts of service, quality time, and physical touch, I believe.
That
or words
correct.
Of affirmation, I'm sorry, is number three for you. So it's important to understand the other person. And yet, Kiki, you just – what flows out of your heart is a desire to love, a desire to forgive, thank you, Jesus, and a desire to understand. And I thank you for that. What do you think it is about your heart and your disposition? Now that we've been divorced, not we, but we come from past marriages and now a blended family, a new marriage, which you and I know is very special because God brought us both together.
Well, first of all, it's really insightful what both you, Jennifer, and Brian are talking about. And I think for us, what has been very successful in our blended family is God first. I think for us, I truly have found my soulmate, and God knew that I had to go through what I went through, that Chris had to go through what he had to go through. And that was the plan all along. But like Chris just mentioned, the love languages, it was like a light bulb, because before, like, we had to really figure things out, because we had a lot going on with with being divorced and having five children between the two of us. There was a lot. But yet God kept pushing us together and kept knocking on that door saying, you're meant to be together. You're meant to be. Because we had a very long dating and engagement before we got married. But I think for us, the love languages, me really understanding Chris and his words of affirmation, and he's not joking about that, that is, I didn't get it at first. I didn't understand the expectation. He really needs to hear that from me because I thought one time is okay. And for him, he needs that. He also is a very touchy. And I came from, you know, out of a marriage that there wasn't any of that. So it was really difficult for me to open myself up and trust him. And now it's okay that, you know, I can give myself wholly, and this man loves me that much and unconditionally. And I think when we figured out our love languages, that was huge because me, it's silly things like acts of service when he loads the dishwasher or he picks up a meal like for me because I'm tired. I'm working all day teaching and we have a bunch of kids and you run around and just for him, he offered the other day, our daughter's not doing that well and I had to go to a doctor's appointment and he texted me and said, honey, what can I pick up? And that like for me, I think he knew it, but he didn't really know it. Like for me, I was just like, thank you. Like that support. And I think that's really important. But the expectation and God first, I think I'm very, very fortunate that I have a husband that loves God as much as I do.
Wow. Well, thank you, honey. And, the thoughts are mutual. Jennifer, you mentioned earlier about the team, but Kiki brings up a very interesting point about expectations. And this can be good and bad. And sometimes when we put expectations on someone else who maybe doesn't understand what you're demanding or what you're expecting from them, and then when they don't fulfill it, we get disappointed. We might even get upset. We might even argue with the other person. Why are expectations in a marriage so important?
They're very important because sometimes you just don't know exactly what to expect from your spouse. Your spouse doesn't know what to expect from you. And sometimes you're putting things on them that they wouldn't know how to behave just because a lot of things that we come into the marriage with expectations for are coming out of our families of origin. It could come from past relationships that we've had. And if you're not cueing your spouse in as to what's important to you and what communicates best to you, or just sometimes how things are done or you'd like them to be done around your household, there can be a lot of miscommunication there. And of course, you want to make sure that you're always communicating love to your spouse and care for your spouse and not doing something that would communicate the opposite of that. So it's good to have those conversations, even if they're going to be difficult conversations. This might be anything from where you're spending holidays, which side of the family, to, as Kiki had talked about, just love languages. Another way to really tap into your spouse and kind of figure out just more of what they like or expect or just how to really fill up their love buckets, if you will, is to do some personality evaluations. This could be something like the DISC or Myers-Briggs or the Enneagram, and it's just good to understand where your spouse is coming from to that.
Yeah, I think she and I are high D and a high I. So for those who haven't done the DISC, it just means we have two strong personalities, but we're still unique in some ways, and we're not competing. I don't feel like I'm competing with you,
Kiki. No, we support one another.
Yeah.
But we're both very, we have strong personalities.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about competition. We're going to talk about the team again because, folks, this is why I've called in the experts here. Any talk show host is going to talk about marriage. If they're smart, they won't do it alone. Our guests are Jennifer and Brian Harvey. They are the authors of the book Operation Thriving Marriage, a field manual for maximum performance and preventative maintenance. And again, you can learn more at their websites at brianharvey.com. And Jennifer's is harveylegalgroup.com. You're listening to Chris Ayotte on WMUZ 103.5 The Light, Detroit Made Bible Strong.
The Mother Waddles mission has been helping the poorest of the poor for over 50 years. By donating your car, you can help Mother Waddles continue to help those in need. Mother Waddles will use your generous car donation to help a low-income family with transportation. Just think, what a difference your car donation will mean to a needy family who has no car. Your car donation will truly change their life. So avoid the hassle of trying to sell your car and donate it to Mother Waddles. Plus, Mother Waddles takes any car, running or non-running. And remember, when you donate your car to Mother Waddles, you are helping Mother Waddles to feed a hungry person and provide shelter to those in need. So change a life today and call Mother Waddles at 313-WADDLES or simply donate your car online at motherwaddles.org. Mother Waddles, a name you can trust. Call 313-WADDLES. That's 313-WADDLES.
And friends, you can't go wrong when you donate your car to Mother Waddles. You get a Blue Book value tax receipt at the time of donation. Your car is picked up fast and for free, and your car donation will help the Mother Waddles mission help those truly in need. So please call Mother Waddles today at 313-WADDLES. That's 313-WADDLES.
On days when all seems lost, hope is just a tap or click away.
We've brought together America's best Bible teachers on My Hope Now.
Real hope, right now. Find it at myhopenow.com and download the app from the App Store and Google Play. You'd think that given how much less traffic there's been in the past year, that the roads would be a lot safer. Turns out, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the number of people killed on the highways went up in the first 9 months of 2020. Officials blame it on speeding, made easier because there's less traffic to get in the way.